You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of October 11th, 2016, and episode number 285. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Well, this week's news includes a possible skunk ape find, a UFO photograph stirs debate. Well, when don't they? Winchester Mystery House expands, and the clown pandemic continues. Yeah, we're talking clowns tonight again. Second week in a row. Hey. It's out there. I got to talk about it. And we'll also have the book of the week if I have time to squeeze that in as well. This episode is brought to you by Thomas Francis University. Thomas Francis University is a metaphysics school that offers online spiritually based bachelor's, master's, and PhD doctoral metaphysical degrees, as well as single standalone courses in related metaphysical and esoteric topics. Instructors are easily accessible and offer world-class customer service and instruction. TFU and other ICMHS schools have hundreds of students and graduates in more than 50 countries worldwide. For more information on Thomas Francis University, please visit tfuniversity.org. That's what I get for trying to do it from memory. And it's a great school, and hopefully my E4 method class will be debuting pretty soon on Thomas Francis University. So, what is going on around town, around my end of the thing here? Westerville Public Library, Westerville, Ohio. That's northeast of Columbus, if you're wondering where that's at on the map. 27th of October, October 27th, I'll be appearing there. It's going to be a long night. It's like 2.5 hours or 3 hours, something like that. It's going to be a long night. It's going to be fun. The eighth consecutive year, I'll be at that particular library where my books are in the library. Hopefully they're not there this year. I like to visit them every year before I do my presentation and just to say hi to them. But usually I hope that they're not in the library. If you're planning on going, see the Westerville Public Library webpage and check out the events there and sign up. Let them know you're going to be there. That helps my chances of being there for a ninth consecutive year. And then after that, November 4th through the 6th, I'll be in Bedford, Pennsylvania, speaking at the Ghost Excavation Conference for the third time. It's the third Ghost Excavation Conference, and looking forward to that. It's going to be a really interesting conference. It's not your typical conference. It's people that are doing things that are pretty much against the grain, and it's going to be really fun. Patty Wilson will be speaking. She's actually up after me on Sunday morning. So it's going to be a good time. There's also going to be a ghost excavation. If you've never heard of that, look up John Sable and the ghost excavation methodology. I got to get one of his books on here as the book of the week pretty soon. That's going to be fun. And I also want to mention for the network, more than anything here, the Alien Con 2016, the Alien Convention will take place on October 28th through the 30th in Santa Clara, California, which is in the San Francisco area to the south and just north of San Jose. Guests will include many who have appeared on the television show Ancient Aliens, and also Judy, Penny, and Will Robinson from the original Lost in Space television show. Or I guess that's actually Marta Kristen, Angela Cartwright, and Bill Mummy, not the, you know, the other way around. But there will also be a few other actors, including Edward James Olmos. He's the famous for Battlestar Galactica, if you're younger. And if you're like me, Blade Runner, and my favorite television show of all time, Miami Vice. There will also be authors and comic book creators on hand, in addition to artists and more. So if you're near California and you're into aliens, sci-fi, comic books, video games, or art, you should really check it out. Not only the guest list, but the exhibitor list. Look and see who's there. There's some really impressive people that are going to be at that event. Now here on the network, WCJV, we will be providing some interviews from some of the guests of the Alien Con, and that's going to be hosted by Kat Hobson. Now, Kat Hobson is the host of Paranormal Experienced, which can be heard Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on WCJVradio.com. Now, find us on Facebook, WCJV on Facebook. It's fixed, thanks to Frank Lee, facebook.com/WCJVradio, or just search for it. To get updates on when these interviews will take place, they should be taking place the weekend of the convention. And you can find all that information out on Facebook and then come back here if you're here in the chat room and listen live and comment on what's going on. It's a unique opportunity to hear what's going on at that very unique and interesting conference. So check it out. Also, don't forget to check out AlienCon 2016 at thealiencon.com. Pretty good website there. And speaking of Frank Lee, I threw his name out there. Yes, he's back. Halloween, Monday, October 31st, 9 p.m. Eastern. He's going to have a special comeback special on Halloween, and he's going to feature quite a few guests from what I hear. So stay tuned for that one. Wow, what else? Paranormal Pull is back. The latest question I have is, does this clown pandemic scare you? Well, that's kind of an open-ended question. I know it's meant to say yes or no, but the more you think about that, maybe you'll think it scares you in certain ways. Maybe it scares you because maybe they're going to cancel Halloween in your area. How will your kids react to that? What are you going to do with all that candy? Maybe you can give it to me, at least the gummy stuff. And maybe I'll take the chocolate too. But maybe it's also the clowns. Maybe you're scared of clowns. What if clowns run loose on Halloween night? What if that's their plan? They're all going to come out of the woodwork and take all the kids' candy. Who knows what could happen? It's going to be insane. And we'll talk more about clowns a little bit more towards the end of the show. And as always, check out paranewsinsider.com. All kinds of great stuff there. Events, conferences, conventions, anything and everything. All the archives for the show. And also a link to the Paranormal Poll as well. paranewsinsider.com. You can also go to paranewsinsider.com/vote. To vote. It's voting season, right? Get out there and vote. Vote on the clowns. And with no further ado, we're going to jump into cryptid news this week. Now, this story here, I wasn't really going to talk about. I read it and I was just like, come on, really? I'm not going to fall for this again. But then I watched the little video. So I watched the 8-minute video. And, you know, I kind of thought, hey, maybe there is potentially something to this. And I thought, well, you know what? Maybe I'll pass this around. And you guys can think about what you think there in the chat room. I threw that link in there for you. A pair of researchers with the Apalachicola Skunk Ape Project in North Florida had an encounter with what they feel was a Sasquatch during an outing on September 23rd. This area would be near Pensacola, Florida, on that little arm that goes east and west that extends westward from North Florida. You're looking at a map, you know, it's a little panhandle that they usually call it, south of Alabama and Georgia. Now, the group left the vehicle and began hiking out to meet others when their car alarm went off in their Land Rover. So they're in the middle of the woods, and here's their car alarm going off, going nuts. What are you to think? You know, you're out there looking for Sasquatch. Now, the group came back to shut the alarm off, and as the group inspected their car, they noticed streaks on the hood. Streaks. Yeah, there's some photographs in their little video there of these streaks. Now, when Josh Watson was photographing the streaks, the men heard a loud growl just feet from where they were standing. The pair also saw red eye shine. That part confused me. How do you see eye shine? Eye shine is reflection of light. So I don't know. Maybe they had flashlights. It's pretty dark, I guess. And the other member saw the creature for about 20 seconds in the dark, while Watson states he saw it for about 2 seconds. Before it disappeared. After a few minutes, the pair searched for more evidence and purportedly found a 16-inch track in the road. Now, the following morning, the group found even more tracks, including a trackway that goes in two different directions. The group also found very interesting tracks in other areas of the woods, 14 inches to 16 inches. So two sets of sizes of tracks. Now, in total, they found 18 tracks, but were unfortunately only able to cast four of them due to the ground conditions at the time. They also found a hair sample that was 6 feet, 6 inches off the ground. Pretty high up there for a little hair sample. Who knows? It could have been a deer hair that blew around or something. But they've sent that out to get tested. I don't know. We'll find out, I guess. It looks like a legitimate investigation. There are a little bit of question marks around this. And, you know, one never knows in the Bigfoot world. But we'll keep an eye out on this particular story. It's an interesting story. Don't usually get too many Bigfoot sightings in that area. But historically, I've have heard of a few in the panhandle area of Florida. Interesting case from this Apalachicola Skunk Ape Project group. There's like six of these guys. Interesting stuff. UFO news. A weird photograph. I mentioned this at the top. A little bit of debate going on about this, as there always is with any kind of photograph, whether it's ghosts, cryptids, UFOs. There's always debate because a photograph doesn't really prove anything. It just usually just raises more questions unless we can figure things out. So an interesting photograph. The photograph in question is of a purported UFO photographed over the Isle of Man. Now, here's another geographical kind of educational thing here. The Isle of Man is a self-governing British Crown dependency in the Irish Sea between England and Ireland and has a population of about 86,000 people. The photograph in question was taken with an HD camera on August 13th of this year while the photographer was taking pictures of the halo around the sun. Hope he wasn't looking at the sun. Then he spotted the object. Now, in many photographs, the photographer does not see the UFO. You hear that all the time. But this unnamed source, guy won't even tell us who he is, says, quote, "When taking pictures of the halo around the sun from the coast toward the sea, I glimpsed on the left a falling object like a leaf above the sea. Then the object was stabilized and left southbound at an extreme speed," unquote. So he didn't see it at first, but I guess he saw it. Then he took a photograph of it before the object disappeared into the clouds. Now, the point of contention with this photograph is that there appears to be a disc-like shaped object with a reflection in the top rear. It looks pretty sharp that it is a reflection. And skeptics will state that birds can appear as this disc shape from blur of motion, which is true. I agree with that. And this could explain the photograph. However, the photographer stated that it appeared different to birds and planes in this person's field of vision. Again, I agree it could be a bird, but it still does not explain the sharp reflection in the top rear. I'm sure there probably is a logical explanation, and maybe a bird at the right angle, the right time of day could do this. Now, Scott C. Waring, I should say, of UFO Sightings Daily feels that this is definitely the real deal. I don't know how you can say definitely. However, MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network that gets plenty of love here on the show, is currently investigating the photograph and the entire case. I don't know, when somebody doesn't mention who they are, that kind of raises a red flag to me. But you know, MUFON's going to do their job. They're going to look at this, and they're going to figure this out. I had another story on a weird sighting, a photograph. I decided not to talk about it because I kind of figured it out. But there was a photograph of in a field, and there was this weird object. They thought it was like a foot of a robot. Well, it turns out it's the butt of a crossbow. I wasn't the only one that figured it out. A couple of other people figured it out, and I just kind of threw that to the wayside. It's because I found a ton of stories on this clown stuff. So I decided to kind of cast that aside. Before that, though, I got a ghost news story here for you guys. Got to have something ghost every week. Heck, we're headed to Halloween. Hopefully Halloween doesn't get canceled. The Winchester Mystery House in San Jose, California. Talked about this before here on the Paranormal News Insider. It's a Queen Anne-style Victorian mansion that was built by rifle pioneer William Wirt Winchester. Say that five times fast. Construction began in 1884, 3 years after William died from tuberculosis. Now, legend has it, never like to start a story with that sentence, but legend has it, Sarah Winchester was told by a medium to continuously build the house in order to create room for those who died via the Winchester rifle. That's one of like four or five stories as to why the house was built and why the house was built so weird. Of course, many also feel that she was either very lonely or very crazy, or maybe both, after her husband and infant passed away. She was also very rich. That's how she was able to build this house, after acquiring nearly 50% ownership of Winchester Repeating Arms with a daily income of $1,000. $1,000, that's quite a bit of money. And I would take $1,000 a day. But even in today's standards, back then, it was the equivalent of $23,000 a day. Wow, that's a lot of money. Now, recently, a new room was found in the attic space, which is why this is in the news, which now brings the total number of rooms to 161. 161 rooms. That's an awful lot of rooms. But some of these rooms go nowhere. Some of them have doors that the room is only like a few inches thick. It's really, really weird. If you've ever seen pictures or ever had the chance to visit, if you're in that area, highly recommend it. In the space where it's rumored, where this room is, it's rumored that Sarah hid during the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. I don't know how they know that. Wouldn't they have found it since then or before then? Anyway, they found a pump organ, a Victorian couch, a dress form, a sewing machine, and paintings. Interesting finds. The building is a designated California historical landmark and is listed on the National Register of Historic Places and is open to the public for paid tours, including the new room. I always like talking about that place. It's really interesting. And another thing I know about it is during the earthquake, this house was actually seven stories. And the earthquake actually eliminated, it created damage that they ended up having to take off the top three levels. So it's still four stories, 161 rooms. But imagine it was three more stories high. And it's built in a floating, what they call a floating base. So it's not really attached to the surrounding ground. It just kind of, during an earthquake, it's just going to kind of move around on its own little pad there. So interesting stuff. And it's another San Jose story, which is weird. It's the second time I've mentioned San Jose or that area. So we're going to jump into clown stuff now. And it's weird that I'm going to spend a majority of a show talking about clowns. I mean, what is so paranormal about clowns? Well, nothing really, but it's caught the attention of everybody. It's captivated people all over the world, and it's continuing. The clown craze. I don't know what – there's not an official name to it, I don't think. But it's insane. It's crazy. Now, I did spend a fair amount of time last week, I don't know how much time, talking about the origins of this year's Clownageddon. Now, I think it's called Clownageddon. You heard it here first. I avoided the topic for a couple of weeks. But it grew just so large. It was so viral. I had to talk about it. I had to mention at least mention it. But then I started getting a little bit obsessed about all the sightings and wanted to give you guys the reality of when it started here. And a lot of other people that are related in the paranormal field are talking about it as well. Lauren Coleman, who actually coined the term phantom clown during a pandemic of clown sightings in the Boston, Massachusetts area back in 1981. He's been called upon by many news outlets. It's been mentioned in numerous stories from CNN to, gosh, out of Rolling Stone. Everybody is writing about this stuff right now. Benjamin Radford, who is a skeptical investigator and author of Scientific Paranormal Investigation, also wrote a book called Bad Clowns. Great timing for him. That was released on April 1st. I guess the joke's on us, which talks about many types of clowns, including the phantom clowns and evil clowns that seem to be in the news on a daily basis. So I talked, couldn't even tell you how many stories I had last week. It was just one after another, after another, after another. It went on and on and on. And I tried to zoom through them as fast as I could. And there was a few that I didn't get to. I skipped. And then I did more research that night. Some people commented on Facebook about sightings in New York. I saw those stories, which is where I'm going to lead off with here that I forgot. And even today, there's even more sightings, stuff that happened over the weekend and happened yesterday. It's just insane. how much this is growing. It's even more disturbing when you look at the details of some of these things. So I'm going to read off a few more here that I missed last week. September 28th, a clown sighting in North Tonawanda, New York, saw a clown holding a balloon standing in a roadway. The Niagara County Firewire on Twitter sent out a tweet that police were en route. But about an hour later, the culprits, including a kid named Shane Whipple, appeared on the Firewire with a video, and they stated, quote, "We did a bad thing," unquote, numerous times, as well as, quote, "It's just a prank, bro," unquote, while mentioning to the people to subscribe to their channel. Good job, guys. Your 15 minutes of fame are over. September 29th, Plano, Texas. A man was attacked by aluminum baseball bat wielding clown while hiking. That's bad trouble, right? That's a big deal. This guy's going to get messed up. Well, the clown told the man in the deep voice, quote, "Do you want to play a game?" unquote. That's not really my deep voice. It was just, you know. Anyway, the man, who is a mixed martial arts experienced fighter, that's not going to bode well for this clown, blocked the bat and then punched the clown in the face. The man said the clown had blood coming through his mask as he hobbled off. The man also stated that he normally carries a firearm, but did not that day. This could have been a whole different story. October 3rd, Baytown, Texas. Two teens were arrested for chasing people with sticks while wearing clown masks. Police quickly arrested a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old. Both are charged with making terrorist threats. Both were later released to their parents. October 3rd, Houston, Texas, which is very close to Baytown, Texas. Over a dozen schools had been threatened over the last few days. One arrest of a 14-year-old had been made after he made specific threats of violence against a school. Another nutcase off the streets. October 3rd, Livingston, Texas, which is northeast of Houston. A 14-year-old was arrested for making a threat of clown violence and was charged with a third-degree felony. That's a separate case of another 14-year-old. October 4th, Lumberton, Texas, which is north of Beaumont and east of Houston. A woman claimed she had been attacked earlier in the day by clowns. She tried to run but was caught by the hair, thrown to the ground, and dragged across gravel. You guys are going to have nightmares, I'm telling you. She had actually made negative remarks about clowns earlier that night. I should say earlier in the day on Facebook. That's kind of weird. October 4th, Raceland, Louisiana. Two 17-year-olds were arrested for wearing masks outside of holidays while driving around a high school. October 4th, Halifax, Nova Scotia. Police responded to an Instagram post of a clown standing near a high school. No clown was found, but now reports have begun to spike and surely will continue as the fad reaches across the world. It seems like this is the modus operandi. There's a hoax, a claim of a clown, but no clown found, and all of a sudden that area explodes with clown sightings. Numerous other sightings have occurred across Canada, including the provinces of Quebec and Ontario as well. October 6th, Charleston, West Virginia. Draven Riffle posts a video where he sees a clown walking through the woods while he's in a tree stand with a bow. The clown brandishes a knife after Draven asks if the clown knows that it's on private property. He purportedly called law enforcement and is waited for 2 hours. And then finally climbed down from the tree when police arrived. His video on Facebook has over 1 million views. It's been shared 38,000 times and has over 5,000 comments. But some think that it's just a hoax. I think people are interested in this clown stuff. What do you think? October 7th, United Kingdom. You knew it was only a matter of time. In Durham, in the northeast of England, a man in a clown outfit armed with a knife followed four 11 to 12-year-olds to school. Thames Valley police said it had been called to 14 spooky clown incidents in 24 hours between Saturday and Sunday, October 8th and 9th. Numerous stories have exploded through social media, which is to blame for a lot of this, and police about clown sightings all across the country. October 7th, Roseville, Michigan. Two 18-year-olds have been arrested and charged with disorderly conduct for jumping out of a vehicle while wearing clown masks and scaring two 14-year-old girls. Michigan clowndom accelerated after a video was shown in Dearborn of a purported clown sighting on October 3rd, Three suspects have been arrested in two separate incidents in the Dearborn area in just the last few days. October 7th, St. Francis, Minnesota. Ben Heldry, high school girls soccer coach, lost his job as a photographer from the from a photograph of during the last practice of the year. He actually has a yearly tradition where he takes a picture. He wears some kind of a costume. This year, unfortunately, he chose a clown. He hid behind a barrel, which was a suggestion of one of the girls on the team. Now, the girls at the practice were in on the joke. It was the last practice of the year. They had three more games left. But one of the girls shared it on social media, and of course, it spread. Now, one girl at the school claimed that it scared her. So what happened? Ben Heldry lost his job. Now, Heldry was fired just hours prior to the third game, the third to last game of the year. Needless to say, the people in that school are a little upset about this. But, you know, you mess with this thing that's happening viral, and it's going to bite you in the rear end. October 7th, Menasha, Wisconsin. A couple was jailed for child neglect when police caught them and another woman driving around wearing clown costumes. The 29 and 26-year-old parents had left their 4-year-old son at home that morning for a few hours while they drove around in clown outfits. What are people thinking? October 8th, Whitwick, Leicestershire, United Kingdom. A woman proclaimed on Facebook that her friend, who was 8 months pregnant, was scared into premature childbirth by a 17-year-old wearing a clown mask. That story is not really, I don't know if it's true or not, but I saw the story and it was just like, are you kidding me? October 8th, Australia. The clown craze has officially spread to Australia, no thanks to social media. A man in North and West Australia was arrested and charged with disorderly behavior and possession of a disguise while committing an offense after chasing teenage girls. Now, the craze has spread throughout Australia, and police have been putting up the same warnings as other countries have about doing crazy stuff wearing clown costumes. October 8th, Denver, Colorado. Police reported to a clown sighting, but no clown was found. And you can only expect to see a rash of sightings very soon. If it fits the MO here. October 8th, Salinas, California. Police narrowed down an IP address attached to the Instagram account of someone who posted clown violence against a local elementary school. But before police could serve the warrant, the suspect surrendered. And an 11-year-old boy told school officials he knew who the person was. It turned out to be another 11-year-old boy who was behind the threats and admitted that he was doing it when contacted by police. The boy was charged with cyberbullying. I'm not sure. I don't think he's going to go to jail or anything, but can't imagine an 11-year-old. But still, that's insane. The Oakland Unified School District was put on lockdown October 9th after threats, but no suspect has been found as of yet. Many other clown sightings have been reported in the Bay Area, including an attempted kidnapping of a 1-year-old child by a person in a clown costume. Again, that one there, I'm not really sure of. Some of these could be hoaxes. A lot of these that I've talked about here are the genuine article. They are stories that have been verified by law enforcement. They really have happened, and you can pretty much take them for what they are, because they are pretty much official sightings according to the police. I'm going to take a breath here. I'm going to relax. This is just insane, the amount of cases and stuff that I've already said. There's more coming here. And I want to let you know that you're listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVradio.com. And you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider here with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. This clown stuff, I'll tell you, it is out of control. And thinking about some of these repercussions, and I got a little list here later on that we're going to talk about some of the crazier things that are happening with these sightings. But one has to wonder, what does the future bring? You know, we expected this to just go away. Benjamin Radford, Lauren Coleman, both been on record of stating it's already seeing its way out. It's the peak has hit. And now it's just going to be a downward spiral into nothing, and we're never going to hear about this again. Even I, last week, said that it seems like it's kind of wearing away here in the United States, just random pockets here and there in the United States, then it's just going to fade away. The weather's going to change. It's going to get cold. Kids are going to stop doing it. But it's not. It's not losing any momentum. And right now I'm through October 8th, and there's more coming here. This is just out of control. October 9th, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Police responded to the scene where three clowns were seen, with one of them holding a gun. A woman feared for her life and thought she was going to be robbed. As police arrived, the three clowns fled, ditching their masks as well as the gun. Now, this story broke, and it was all over social media. It was on the news, and people thought that this was an armed robbery attempt and that this gun was real. And I held off kind of writing about the story. I just want to see how it panned out. Now, the trio, the three people in the clown costumes were caught, and it turned out to be two 13-year-old males and a 14-year-old male. Kids. I don't know. I guess you can't call them kids. They're teens, right? Now, all three were thought to be in hampered condition. Okay, they were high. At least they were thought to be high. And the gun turned out to be a realistic-looking pellet gun. That could have turned out bad. The police responding on the scene could have, taken things in a completely different direction at that point. And, can you just imagine? Clown Lives Matters would be all over the place. Well, it actually is. We'll get to that here in a second. The teens were only charged with obstructing traffic when they ran across the road. But again, they had a gun. But had they pointed the gun at anyone, they would have been charged with a felony. And they certainly could have lost their lives in that decision, had the police been involved in them pointing guns at anybody. And also in New Mexico, a report from Roswell states that a clown was seen walking around holding a bat. No, he wasn't being abducted by aliens, but that's, it's a report. Don't know if that's true. Alamogordo, New Mexico, three boys were caught taunting others in a middle school while wearing clown masks. They were middle-aged teens or middle teens. I don't know how you would really say that. Probably 12 to 13-year-old kids. We go back across the ocean here. October 9th, Manchester, England. Two scary-looking clowns harassed drivers, and one climbed on the hood of a car. The clowns also held machetes, although they were thought to be fake. But either way, that's got to be kind of crazy to witness that. England has had its fair share of arrests due to similar behavior in the last few days. I tell you, England is kind of worrying me here about this clown craze. Now, they've had the same thing where they've had some schools closed due to all of this stuff. And again, this is just a sample. There's been a lot of other stories, but a lot of them, I think, are just rumors. I don't think they're true hoaxes or pranks. I mean, most of these stories are pranks, and that's the big issue. You don't realize that there are repercussions for doing this stuff, prank or not. You put a mask on, you hide your identity, you intend to inflict harm, even though it's a character you're portraying, I think, in your mind. I don't know what these people are thinking, these kids are thinking. By putting on a clown mask, you're still a person and you're still scaring other people. You're intimidating people or scaring people. Now, I'm the kind of person, it drives me up the wall when I hear everybody crying and complaining about their feelings being hurt or being afraid of things or being, this bullying stuff to an extent is a little ridiculous. Now, there is a line, and there are a lot of things that I don't condone, but I think a lot of people are a little wimpy when it comes to this stuff. But clowns, I mean, again, you're hiding your identity behind a mask. And people are doing things that I don't think that they would normally do if they weren't wearing a mask. I think they're going a little bit beyond that because they're a different persona. And I think this is really out of control. People need to they just need to stop. And I'm talking about this on this radio show, and I don't like when the media kind of blows these things up and talks about them, because once they gain momentum and people see it on the news, they're going to want to do it too. But how many 13, 14-year-old kids do you think watch CNN? or watch the local news. I don't think it's the news per se. I think it's social media. Social media really controls everything here. And the kids are obsessed with it. They're tied to it. They probably spend more time doing that than even watching TV anymore, or even playing video games for that matter. So it's really social media. But again, news outlets do report their stuff through social media. So I guess I can consider myself part of the media. I don't know. I don't have a media badge or anything like that. But we do have a responsibility as being in the media to report things and not glamorize them. And most of the stuff I've said here tonight and last week about these sightings is that if you do something stupid, you're going to get caught. The police are not messing around with this. And if you threaten a school, which I don't know why you'd want to do that, what possesses kids to threaten schools? I mean, my goodness, you know, you lock down a school, you're going to jail. It's a terrorist threat. It's one of the worst things you can do other than actually going through the act. And I said it last week, and I mean it. I'm kind of happy in this regard that this clown stuff has caused some of these kids to react this way, to make these threats and to scare these schools, even though no one's really gone through any of this stuff. But the fact of the matter is these kids are finding a way to kind of funnel their bad feelings, bad emotions, and bad intentions through a clown persona instead of actually going out and doing it. So we're kind of getting these kids off the streets, out of these schools, getting them the psychological help they need before they actually boil over and bring a gun to school or do something else at school. And maybe some of these kids, I don't know, maybe this is just their way of retaliating from being bullied themselves. I don't know. I just think this is silly. But, you know, that's just part of the story. Now, there's another issue about this, and that's legitimate clowns. I know it sounds funny, you can laugh, but legitimate clowns are a little bit nervous about all this stuff, and it's starting to gain a little bit more momentum in the media about legitimate people who actually do this for a job. And not just that, but now there's another thing going on where there's mobs of people, vigilante groups, looking for clowns in the streets. It started out as a joke. Pennsylvania State University, I think, was the first one to do it. It was meant in jest. It was meant, pun intended there, with jest. It was meant to be a funny way of looking at this and kind of releasing stress on campus, which, you know, they do no matter what. But they created a group and they went out looking for clowns. And it was just a joke. Belmont University in Nashville also did the same thing. They organized clown hunts where they intended to find clowns. But unfortunately, when you get a group of people together and you have kind of any kind of intention of potential violence or finding something, some people are going to take it a little too far. And some people were actually found and beaten over these clown hunts. And despite a majority of actual clown sightings being pranks, somebody could actually die from this. And I wonder how long it's going to be until the angry mobs really inflict pain on somebody to the point of maybe killing somebody. Now, this past weekend, various groups of clown vigilante hunters also formed in various parts of England. Now, England, I'll tell you, England, from the stories I've heard, a little bit more violent. I mean, people throwing themselves wearing clown masks and costumes on top of people's cars, chasing them around with machetes, just all these crazy things. In England, it seems like a little bit more violent. And as I mentioned, there's also the scare of school closings. Now, you don't see that stuff in the media as much. They do a different thing over there where they don't really talk about that stuff the way we talk about it after the fact. They kind of hide that stuff because they don't want this to get out virally about haunting these schools, of these kids making these threats. But I have read a few that have gotten out on the media about England, about schools being threatened and people being arrested. You don't want to do that. You don't want to mess around with that. Now, these clown vigilante hunters in England are patrolling the streets looking for clowns. Meanwhile, legitimate clowns, especially here in the United States, are losing business over this latest outbreak. A woman named Melody the Clown out of South Glens Falls, New York, recently had a man call for her services at a party for her grandson. And unfortunately, days later, he called back and canceled stating that his daughter did not want a clown due to the publicity. Ouch. Now, Taffy the clown with a K, because she's a hip clown, and Bezor, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, Bezor, from Oregon, are professional clowns and are volunteers at Milburn's Haunted Manor this month. Of course, it's October. Now, Taffy, who has worked as a clown for over 12 years, is fearful for her life. She says, quote, "I've seen posts on there. The first clown I see, I'm going to pull out my gun and shoot them in the head. That's scary, especially when you're traveling from your home to the haunt you work out in. You have to wonder, am I going to get shot at?" Unquote. So Taffy the clown, she drives from her home to the locations using her disguise, usually in her clown makeup. She's dressed ready to go for work. You know, you put on your makeup, right? Hopefully at home, not in the car. Before you go to work, well, that's what Taffy the clown does. She dresses up, she goes to work. But she's afraid of a negative reaction from a motorist or somebody else seeing her as she drives around in her clown makeup. That's legitimate. I get it. And I never thought of it that way. You know, what about these legitimate people that are just going about their lives? I mean, personally, I've been driving for a long time. I've never seen anybody that I can remember driving around in clown makeup. But I guess there's a first for everything. Taffy is now actually considered retiring. It's sad. 12 years doing that. She enjoys it, obviously. And yeah, she's threatening to quit. Now, another story I just read late this afternoon, Ronald McDonald. Yes, McDonald's, the flagship character, not McGriffin, not the other ones, whatever their guy's name is. I used to love those commercials. Ronald McDonald, pretty much the only guy that's really survived all those little crazy looking characters. I don't know what their names are. He's the clown. He's the guy. He's the flagship character for McDonald's restaurants. He's been told to lay low. That's an official statement from McDonald's. He's told to lay low. He will not be making any appearances in the near future. Now, I read these stories, and nowhere did I read about Ronald McDonald House and the charities that he raises through his appearances. That's going to suffer. And these are kids that we're trying to help here. And now these other kids, who obviously don't think about these things, are causing all this other harm. It's just crazy. So poor Ronald McDonald, you might not ever hear from him again. You might not hear from him for a while, at least. Some people are saying, good, he's creepy. Yeah, I don't really care for him either. But, you know, I see those little statues in some of the stores. It does creep me out. His eyes follow me. I swear they do. Now, a woman in Denver, Colorado is also in the news. A little controversial story here. She's stating that she's going to put up a sign at her lawn. I don't know if she said in her door or on her lawn. She's banning children in clown costumes from her house this year, from getting candy. Some people are for that. Some people are like, lady, you're crazy. But I get it. You never know. You don't know what could happen. You don't know how people are going to act. And, you know, with Halloween coming up fast, it's less than 3 weeks away. You just wonder how many teenagers, 14-year-olds, or even adults are going to go out there and do some crazy stuff. It's sad that we have to think that way, but, you know, Halloween should be a time for children to go out and have fun. Trick-or-treating is fun. I remember I had a lot of costumes. I think I did dress up as a clown when I was a kid, when I was really young, but I had some really insane costumes. But I think I was usually sick around Halloween anyway, but it's fun. It's a time to get out there and dress up and just have fun. You know, it seems like every now and again it turns into kids taking things too far. And this is just another case. And I just think that kids should just enjoy life and be able to go out on Halloween, trick or treat, get candy, get sick, whatever they do, and not have to worry about pins in their Snicker bars or getting jumped or having clowns with machetes attack them or anything like that. I just think that's insane. You know, and I knew I wasn't part of this, but I knew growing up, kids that would dress up that were in high school and go out and steal kids' candy, that was the worst thing you ever thought of on Halloween when I was growing up. But I don't know. It seems like you poor kids have a lot more to worry about than what we did growing up. Now, lastly, the last little thing I have here on this whole clown thing, October 15th. This is it. October 15th, there will be a Clown Lives Matter march in Tucson, Arizona. Attendees are asked to show up wearing clown makeup or masks in support of real clowns. Now, the event flyer for the Clown Lives Matter march states, quote, "This is a peaceful way to show clowns are not psycho killers. We want the public to feel safe and not be afraid. So come out, bring the family, meet a clown, and get a hug," unquote. I don't know. I'm glad to see people standing up for that. I don't know if Clown Lives Matter is the appropriate term to use with all the other issues going on with the Lives Matter kind of stuff, but it's good. I guess it's good to kind of counteract some of the bad stuff that happens. And I think I don't remember. I'd have to go back and listen to the archive. I mentioned I got to get a shirt with Clown Lives Matters on it, but funny, today I found – I was reading an article on this march in Tucson, Arizona, and there was somebody who posted a link on Amazon for Clown Lives Matter shirt, and I posted that on my Facebook feed. I thought it was hilarious, by the way, but it's insane. We're making T-shirts now about this. I don't know what else to say about this whole thing. It's gotten out of hand. It's out of control. It's a big deal because of the potential violence. There's not really been that much violence when you step back and look at how many reports. I did also put a map on the Facebook feed for Paranews Insider, Paranormal News Insider, Paranews Insider on Facebook for what's going on. And I think last week there was like 32 states. Then a couple days later it was 37 states. Well, you look at this map of sightings, of arrests, of all these different things, it's the whole entire United States is just covered in colors. And I think Montana was the only state that didn't have anything. So it's insane. It's everywhere. It's all over the U.S. It's spreading into England, and it's spreading to Australia, for crying out loud. I haven't heard of any other countries other than Canada and the other mentioned countries. But I don't know. It's hopefully it's going to start slowing down pretty soon. And we can go back to just talking about paranormal news. I don't know. Maybe I will ignore this going forward. I don't know, unless it gets a little bit bigger. I think it's hopefully it's going to wind down. I thought that last week, but man, oh, man, it's out of control right now. Yeah, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. So enough for the clowns. Enough with the clowns. Let's talk book of the week. Why not? I'm going to change gears here. I'm going to throw out the book of the week. I had a couple books. I've been reading a lot of books lately. I've got a couple more that I have to read. I got a lot of reading to catch up on. I'm spending a lot of time right now designing some of my presentations for – I got two big ones that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Westerville Public Library, Westerville, Ohio, just outside of Columbus, Ohio, and then the Pennsylvania one with Bedford, Pennsylvania with John Sable and the Ghost Excavation Conference. And it's going to be a lot of work. So I'm kind of working on those new updated. It's pretty much every time I do any kind of convention or I do any kind of thing, I create a new one for it. I don't like doing the same one over and over again. I like to change them up a little bit. So if you're going to be at either one of those, you're going to see new presentations. For the E4 method I'm going to talk about in Bedford is kind of pretty much the same thing that if you've ever seen me do the E4 method, but I'm going to have a lot more information on that as well. So that should be worth your time if you show up, if you go. The Mothman Files is the book of the week this week. Yes, it is. Trying to keep things changed up week to week with different books of the week. It's hard to fluctuate between UFO stuff and crypt stuff and ghost stuff. And it's almost Halloween, so I should be talking that stuff. I don't have Ben Radford's book on clowns. I wish I would have got that. I don't know. Maybe I'll get that, and that'll be the book of the week. But the Mothman Files. I've done two other Mothman books, Behind Red Eyes, a while ago, and then the good grief, where did that book go? Another one on a lot of the other stories that were going on. Now the Mothman Files. This has a foreword by Jeff Wamsley, who wrote Behind Red Eyes, which I recommend is probably the best book on Mothman. Now, this book here came out in 2011, and it's not a story per se about Mothman. It's actually a series. It's actually 13 stories that are fiction that are dealing with the Mothman. It is interesting, though, to read through it. And it's one of the reasons why I didn't want to have it as the book of the week right away, because it's not true. It's just based on the cases of the Mothman that occurred between December 1966 and December of 1967, culminating in the Silver Bridge collapse, which was horrendous and scary. But this book here, 13 different stories. It's really interesting to read through this. They're short stories, obviously. It's a 140-page book, but it's a really weird to read these stories, and hopefully people remember that it's just fiction. I think Wamsi does a good job of prefacing this and talking about it, that it's not what you think. And Michael Nast, who was the I see it's something to do with the Bram Stoker award winner, Michael Nast, edited the book, and there's also an afterword, which is also interesting. It's a neat book. I've never seen it before. I was actually coming back from vacation from a cruise. We drove down to Florida, which is a long drive, but it was cheaper than airfare. So we stopped by this rest area, and I grabbed a whole handful of books based in West Virginia. And I've read a couple of them, or a couple of them have been books of the week here over the course of the last few months. So The Mothman Files, the book of the week. It is an interesting book. It's a little bit different than the books I normally talk about, but I do like fiction as well. And I think this book is a perfect book to be put on around the Halloween time. So that's that. So what else is going on? Well, usually never have time. It's a good thing. I got a little time here to talk about events. I'm getting a lot of emails about events for 2017, and some don't have websites yet, so I'm kind of holding off on those before I start posting them. I can't believe it's almost time to change the calendar for 2017 for at least paranormal events, conferences, conventions. It's insane. They're starting to float in, and normally I kind of wait till after Halloween, because that's usually like October, middle end of October is usually a big time for conferences, conventions. Then it kind of slows down in November. December, there's sometimes a handful. And that's when I start doing the work. I start bringing you the ones for 2017, but they're starting to trickle in already, which is crazy. Let's see, what is the 11th year? So we had the Little Traverse Bay Parafest taking place October 14th through the 15th in Petroskey, Michigan. Milwaukee Paranormal Conference, October 14th to the 16th in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And as I mentioned, I'll be at the Westerville Public Library on October 27th. And I'll be speaking from 6:30 p.m. to 8:45 p.m. I guess that's what that says. And the third Ghost Excavation Conference, November 4th through the 6th in Bedford, Pennsylvania. I'll be speaking at that event as well. Last one on the calendar already, Changing Times, Changing Worlds, November 4th through the 6th, Cromwell, Connecticut. It's coming up fast. Maybe I'll do more research. Maybe there's more coming up in December. I don't know. UFO stuff. Let's see. There's a couple of them here. 2016 Transformational Shift Conference, October 21st through the 23rd, Tucson, Arizona. Paraween Mass UFO Fest, October 22nd, Salem, Massachusetts. 2016 New Mexico UFO Conference, also on October 22nd, Rio Rancho, New Mexico. And the one that we're going to get a little bit of coverage here on WCJV, my home for the Paranormal News Insider, AlienCon 2016, October 28th through the 30th, Santa Clara, California. But also there's a bunch of MUFON ones coming up. MUFON Philadelphia Area UFO Conference, October 28th and 29th in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. And the Pittsburgh Area UFO Conference held by MUFON, November 19th in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. Always check MUFON.com. A lot of states have their own individual websites Through MUFON, I guess you could just Google it, search for MUFON, whatever state you're in, MUFON Florida, MUFON Texas, MUFON Ohio, wherever, and look up for your local state. Now, not every state has a MUFON website. Some neighboring states will usually pick up that coverage. There's some states where one director covers multiple states. But either way, when you go to those websites, a lot of times you'll see announcements for your local conferences. I think almost every state that has a MUFON presence has their own conference. But again, you want to check out MUFON.com and check that out for yourself. Cryptozoology, the 15th annual Texas Bigfoot Conference, probably the last big one. October 15th, Jefferson, Texas. Beaver Creek Bigfoot Days. I know a couple people that'll be down there at that. Unfortunately, I won't be. October 15th and the 16th, East Liverpool, Ohio. The 5th annual Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Expo, October 21st and 22nd in Chautauqua, New York. And Sasquatch Summit, November 18th and 19th at Ocean Shores, Washington. Now, again, I've had quite a few people already tell me about events happening next year. Some of which don't have websites. Some I put them on. Well, I put them in the code, but you really can't see them on the website yet. As I get websites and as I get time after Halloween, when things start to slow down a little bit, I'll start researching for next year, and we'll start getting the list growing for next year. I'm really excited about this because this year was a really successful year as far as me getting these events out to you, the listener. And a lot of people and a lot of these organizers were very happy about that. And I hope to continue to help creating this list to get people to get out there, get to these events. Again, I say it all the time. Some people love these things. Some people don't. I'm kind of in the middle. It depends on the type of event. I'm not all about these. Don't get me wrong. I like comic cons. I love the comic book movies, TV shows and all that. I'd love to meet a lot of these actors. But some of these scare cons and different things that are on the fringe, I don't really include those. I've made some exceptions in the past. You know, the scare cons, the horror gaming and anime-based themes. Even if paracelebs are there, I'm not a big fan of the paraceleb events. A lot of these are just geared toward bringing you out to meet these paracelebs. A lot of those you're going to find not really going to give you a whole lot of information, but you are going to meet a lot of other people. And that's the bottom line here. That's why I enjoy these smaller events. You may not have thousands of people packing a big area, a big convention center. But some of these smaller ones, you're going to meet some of the most unique people, a lot of people with great ideas, great information, and you're going to be able to network with these people. That's why I go to meet new people, learn new things. So I entice you, I encourage you, go out there, find these events. Again, paranewsinsider.com, click on the events tab at the top, and you can find this list if you're wondering who's going to be at these events and what's going on in your area. And got a lot of great feedback from that. And that always encourages me to continue to do this. I just kind of actually started it on a whim. And now it's something that I'll continue to bring as long as there's good reasons to do so. And if you have any information about any event and would like to hear it here as well as see it on the website, let me know. Email me, insider@paranewsinsider.com, or click on the contact page on the website, paranewsinsider.com, and click on the about contact page. Just follow my legs. It's at the bottom of my legs there. Click on that. There's a little form you can get. Find me on Facebook. Contact me on Twitter, wherever. I mean, I'm everywhere. There's no reason to say that you couldn't get a hold of me somehow, some way for the show. Maybe I have too many ways to get a hold of me. I don't know, but I'll do my best to get the program, your program, up on the website as well. So, wow, an hour's over. A lot of clown stuff tonight, and hopefully we'll tone that down next week. We'll see what happens. I'm not in control of the news. All I do is, like I said before, all I'm here for is to chew bubblegum and tell you the truth. And to be honest with you, I didn't have any bubblegum tonight. So all you got was the truth. That being said, I guess it's time for my little outro here. I want to thank everybody real quick that is in the chat room that's out there listening to the show live. Even if you're not in the chat room, I appreciate you and I thank you for listening. And anybody that's listening to this as a podcast, which is a recorded version of the live show, I also thank you. There's numerous ways to do that. iHeartRadio, iTunes, Podbean, Mixcloud. I could go on and on for probably another 5 minutes, but thank you for listening to the show, The Paranormal News Insider. You make it worth my while to be on here every night at 7 p.m. So that being said, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, and the hair standing on the back of your neck. And always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.
Listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.